This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Digital billboards, are they an attraction or distraction? Let us know what are your thoughts. We've been getting a lot of feedback. A lot of you are also commenting on this. And it's nice to see because that means a lot of people are actually noticing the same kind of issues that we're noticing. And also, this was a story that I found on the Star newspaper today in the Star Metro section. So kudos to them as well because, you know, they're also raising this issue. And like, I think the more of us kind of talk about this and then hopefully, you know, there will be a guidelines that will be, you know, set out because it was very distracting for me when I was driving home at night, way past midnight.
Yeah.
And it's just like, ooh, this is a little bit too bright on my side. Christine, what do we have on Twitter?
On Twitter, we've got Sha'arin who says, this is why I like BFM. You are the only people on radio who actually bother to talk about issues like bright roadside LED billboards that are detrimental to people with ADHD and epilepsy with like little clapping emojis.
Hey,
so thank
cool.
you very much.
Thank you, buddy.
Much appreciated. We've also got Eileen who says, there was once a time where they advertised a horror movie with a floating ghost on one of those screens. Imagine driving at a relatively high speed on the LDP at midnight. Dangerous, no?
This is why I don't drive on the LDP.
Oh, goodness.
I can't do horror at all. Like, wow.
I would not be okay.
That is really scary. On Insta Story, Sean and Chin says, it's an attraction and also a distraction. He's sitting on the same fence as you are.
Yeah, we're both on the same fence.
Exactly.
Same fence.
Pick a side.
Yeah, pick a side. Come on, guys. Pick a side. Do we have any more on Twitter or we want to move over to WhatsApp?
Well, we can move over to WhatsApp. There are quite a few.
It's a few of them. Arvin?
Yeah, so this comes from numbers 2189 who says, Tokyo is full of digital billboards. Perhaps we can learn from them in terms of guidelines.
Yeah.
Good idea. We also have one from Johan. Johan says, there goes my dream to have a Blade Runner future where the ads pops up in 3D. So Johan's on the same fence. So now there are three people on that on that fence.
Sure. You're building a small little fence there. Huh?
Yeah. Toh says, the most distracting thing is the handphone, not the LCD ads.
True.
And then we also have, let me pick one more. This comes from numbers 5763 who says, the super bright billboard on Sprint Highway near the turnoff to Bangsa features a WhatsApp chat conversation and it's super attention grabbing. That is an accident waiting to happen.
That's a merging of both the two things, right? It's the handphone and the LED billboard.
I've seen that almost every day on my way back home and it is very distracting.
No.
And I keep reading it even though I know what it says.
Yeah.
A static screenshot of a make-believe WhatsApp message and
right.
I know what it says because I've seen it a million times. But yet, I still see it. I still have to like take a pause and just like, you know, look at it and go like, maybe he did reply.
Yeah, but see, that's the Bumblebee trailer because I'm sitting down there and like, I see Bumblebee like doing the shield thing again and again. I'm like, ooh, this is so big and nice. Yeah.
Terrible. I'm not on your fence. No, I'm not on your fence. That is dangerous. Anyways, let's talk about our next story, curing new manager imposter syndrome. What's this, Christine?
So imposter syndrome or imposter phenomenon is basically this feeling that you get or this kind of situation that you find yourself in where you start to construct a series of kind of cognitive distortions in your head. So, you know, you'll do something and be successful at it, but then you'll think, I just got lucky or it was a fluke or that wasn't really because of me, right? It's this theory that, you know, you kind of convince yourselves that any sort of achievement that you had was like a total fluke and nothing to do with your own effort and hard work. And unfortunately, a lot of first-time managers fall prey to this kind of mental self-warfare and they will doubt their own leadership capabilities and their manager-worthy skill set. And to make matters worse, some of the most common pieces of management advice out there seem intentionally designed to undermine, you know, the people who just start out as managers, right? So these are four pieces of conventional management wisdom that you may be better off ignoring if you want to cure your imposter syndrome as a first-time manager, right? So the first one is sometimes vulnerability isn't the best policy. We keep hearing a lot about, you know, you must be vulnerable with your team, you must be open and communicative. And that is important. Of course that is important because it will build connection and will humanize you to your team as well. But there is one important caveat. If you are showcasing vulnerability in the exact core competency that people expect of you, it becomes unsettling for them. So if you start to kind of doubt your abilities and you share that doubt with your team, why should your team believe that you can lead them in the first place, right? So, you know, obviously, you know, show empathy and own your mistakes, but you shouldn't express doubt in your abilities as a manager in front of your team, especially as a first-time manager. Instead, muster confidence where you can for your team and find external support to fight those feelings of fraud, right? So, you know, look to a mentor, look to a support group, or look to your friends or family, people who are not involved in your work, to kind of have these feelings of kind of insecurity or fraud and talk to them about it, as opposed to showing that to your team, and then your team will start to doubt you as well.
Oh, yeah, because right, you don't want like the captain of your ship to tell you that he doesn't know how to captain your ship, right? Because then it's like
let me YouTube this.
Just a little bit, right? So the second thing is to recognize the I in team. We always hear there's no I in team, and the culture of shared success has become so ubiquitous that many of us feel actually uncomfortable taking credit for our own accomplishments, right? But the problem with this kind of cycle is that when you don't have a concrete sense of how your individual behaviors generate certain outcomes, you can't learn from either your failures or your successes. When you keep attributing it to the team, you're not actually sure what role you play within the team, right? So, you know, instead of that, take time to contemplate what has been accomplished and the role you specifically played in the success, right?
Identifying who does what, you know, and then at least it's still teamwork makes the dream work, but everyone got to know their role. Yeah. It's not like, you know,
just
like,
recognize
it.
And note down and kind of measure your role as well. You know, make a list using the pronoun I. So what did I do to enable this to happen? How did I contribute to this success? Obviously, don't take credit for the whole thing. Your team is still, you know, it is still teamwork, but you have to understand your role in leading your team to success.
And there are more pointers to this, but I think we will put it up. The podcast will go up and then you can read up about it, because it is a fascinating read, especially over the weekend. And then, you know, on Monday when you go back to the office, it's time for you to, you know, have your team meetings that you usually do on Mondays. If you don't, then probably you should start doing your team meetings on the Mondays, and then start, you know, identifying the small little things that could actually bring a lot of benefits to your team. Let's talk about the digital billboards in just a moment, because we are asking you whether it's an attraction or a distraction, or is it an attraction and distraction, because you're probably going to sit on the same fence as Arvin. So let us know your thoughts, like, you know, how what do you think should be in place as regulations? What are some of the guidelines, or who should they emulate? You know, Tokyo, New York, you know, these kind of cities are all filled with digital billboards, LED billboards. Yeah. And how have they made it work with people who are suffering from epilepsy and also ASD as well, right? So get in touch with us, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp and at BFM Radio on Twitter and Insta Story. We have a lot of messages and we'll get through that in just a moment. This is Semi Charmed Life by BFM 89. By Third Eye Blind, not by BFM 89.9. We don't sing.
We wish.
Yeah, we wish. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.